Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Immigration attorney Jamie Fiegel from Fiegel, Carr & Joyce is with us live again this morning talking about the border. You know, Jamie, in the last several months, we've been waiting on Canada to announce its reopening plans. They have done that. And now it seems the U.S. is dragging its feet with extending the border closure through at least August 21st. Did you see this coming?
It feels like a tennis match that we're watching going back and forth, Susan, here, of who's going to do what when. You know, when you look at the statistics of the vaccinations in the states and Canada now, Canada, with the percentage of its population, is more vaccinated. So they wanted to get to that benchmark to reopen, but they also had safeguards in place in order to differentiate between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. They have the ArriveCan app. The U.S. has not had that issue with people at the border as of yet. If you could overcome border restrictions with the U.S., there was no requirement that you be able to show or prove that you are vaccinated or have any sort of other type of electronic screening or information. So when this announcement came, we had to look at several different factors. And I think the biggest factor in the U.S. making this was that the cases in the states are going up, and it's unvaccinated people that are making up those deaths in those cases.
I think a big surprise to a lot of people who were expecting at least somewhat of a border reopening. It means different rules for different people, depending on your citizenship, depending on where you're going and for what reasons, starting very soon, right? I guess if you're a U.S. citizen, this doesn't impact you quite as much, your ability to travel at least. What are some of the different things to know now that there are going to be two different sets of rules depending on which side of the border you're on?
Yeah, Brian, it's going to go, the U.S. citizens are going to be able to go into Canada as visitors and return to their home country. Canadian citizens are not going to be able to go into the U.S. via the land borders and return that way. So the U.S. did not allow Canadian citizens to be able to enter via the land border. They could have always flown, and that was something that was different throughout the pandemic. American citizens could not fly into Canada as visitors, but Canadian citizens this entire time have been able to fly into the U.S. So there is a way for Canadians to get there, which then also begs the question, then what's so different about the land border? Why not allow that as well?
Absolutely. Now, does this help or not on August 9th when Canada opens, the fact that the U.S. is extending its closure?
When they announced it, Susan, you were the first person I thought of with the traffic question, because I said to myself, well, now if the Canadians cannot get into the U.S. in order to come in as a visitor via the land border, think of how much that's going to eliminate from the coming back over into Canada. So I really think that that announcement does have that trickle-down effect to the traffic that we may not see as much on August 9th as we thought we were going to.
There's no indication of an end game, is there? I mean, there's not really any sort of guidance as to what would cause the policy to change, what they're looking for. You mentioned a rise in cases, but I mean, even that, it's not really pointed to as, you know, the sole reason for keeping this policy in place. Are you seeing any, you know, tea leaves that are there to be read, or is there really just a void of information?
It's very hard to predict these things, especially because we don't know. They're not giving a justification. No one has said this is the reason why we're keeping the border closed. But if we do look at what's coming out from the U.S. government in guidance from the CDC and information, the rise in cases from the last time they wanted to open it, the June 21st date, that was when the U.S. was, the rumors were going that they were unilaterally going to open their side. The cases were much less then. Also, the daily amount of vaccinations were higher. So we can only speculate to say that the Delta variant, the states wanting masks to be put back on, the lack of vaccinations in terms of a daily rate, the increase of unvaccinated hospitalizations and deaths, those would be the most realistic reasons why the U.S. would make this decision. But as I noted, the U.S. citizens can still, or Canadian citizens can still fly into the United States, and they have been able to the whole time. So I do not, I cannot find any reasonable justification to say, well, then what is the difference with the border?
Are you hearing anything about a possible vaccination app that the U.S. is working on to roll out possibly as soon as August 21st?
That would be a great idea. And I think that they would be able to then have that safeguard in place similar to what Canada has. But no, I have not heard anything from any U.S. source or Canadian source to say our U.S. counterparts or here at the border we're working on some sort of application. The only guidelines they have in place right now through the airport where the Canadians can fly into the U.S. is the CDC regulation that says you must have a negative test 72 hours. They say 72 hours, but they allow 3 full days in order to be able to fly into the United States. So I do not see them making any sort of app. I do see maybe as it gets closer to the unilateral opening where, or the U.S. side now opening on their end, maybe an easing back if things go well on the Canadian side so that it can be a little bit more equal. But as we see things happen with the Delta variant and cases and other statistics moving in that direction, I think it's going to be a game time decision as we go forward.
Yeah, which it, I guess, has been for a long period of time. Game time decision. We find out on that date exactly what's going to happen every time. We mentioned kind of the silence that's there. There's some pressure, I guess. Who are the groups that you're seeing apply the most pressure? We hear a lot from Congressman Higgins on this, and I think we noted here last week that aside from him and, you know, a few groups of citizens that have family members separated by the border, there hasn't been a ton of pressure from any more groups on the White House, on the U.S. side, to do something. Am I wrong in that? Are there other groups applying that pressure to kind of move forward on this?
I think you're correct. There's no major groups. It seems to be minor groups of people, smaller groups of people that would put that pressure on, but they don't have as much influence, so we're not really going to hear about them. I know that the U.S. side, some of the local politicians were talking about how the lack of being able to have Canadians in really wasn't affecting our local economy too much, that the economy of Buffalo was doing wonderful and was increasing and didn't necessarily need that. So I don't think that there's that big pressure. It does affect the homeowners, and that's been the big group around here, and it does affect the people with relatives that need to reunite. I happen to be one of them, so it's very frustrating for me month to month that I can't have my children to go see my family and my parents and brothers and sisters. So I know that that group has been very vocal. But you're right, it's not, there are not a lot of large influential groups that are really working on this.
I'm just thinking, Jamie, what happens if someone from the U.S. crosses into Canada after August 9th, okay, when they're permitted to do so? Will they have any problem coming back before the 21st?
Coming back into the United
States? Yes.
After their trip? No. So U.S. citizens have a right of entry. If you are a U.S. citizen, you reside in Buffalo, you have the ability to come back into your own country. So that will not be an issue. You should have the proper documentation. So I always counsel everyone, make sure that whatever documents you have that you're going to present on the Canadian side, they're valid, up to date. You know, make sure you have all your travel documents in hand. If you have a nexus, if you have a passport, enhanced driver's license, remember that there are those document requirements in order to go back and forth from one country to the other. As long as you have your proper travel documents to be able to show an officer on the U.S. side, you should have no problem getting back into the United States after your trip.
All right, a lot to unpack there. Jamie, thanks so much for helping us through. Once again, that's Jamie Fiegel with Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce Immigration Law, talking about the changes that weren't made yesterday here on the U.S. side of the border.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.